I'm going fish, fish.
Yes, indeed. You can tell by the sound it's another Radio Fishing, and this is Fishing Frank, and we got Captain Tim with us today. Good buddy of mine, Real Reaper Charters. I got that right, didn't I?
You got that right.
All right, and we're going to be discussing some of his fishing trips and his charters and some of his plans for the week and what the weather's doing and all kinds of other stuff, but I guess that's enough of what we're going to do, and let's just do it. Hey, Tim.
Frank, how you doing?
I'm just peachy. Couldn't be better if I was twins.
Well, I'm glad we finally got together and were able to do this.
Yeah, well, you got to stop in. You know, we need to do like one a week of these things. We got, you know, I got a lot of gigabyte space on my website. We can put up a lot of these.
Well, you know, it's been a great season for us. You know, better than the last 5 years. So, you know, if I can be on the water, that's where I'm going to be.
Well, that's great. You know, it's... The fishing has been really strange this year. I mean, up, down, weather up, weather cold, weather hot, you know, and it's perfect right now. You couldn't ask for better, I don't think.
No, it's, you're right. It's been up, down. Wind's blowing one day, it's flat the next. It's been so hard to pinpoint. You kind of roll the dice and you go with it. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely affected the fish and the bite. I mean, it's...
So what have you been catching lately?
Well, a lot of reds, snook. Trout.
All right.
Kobe on the bars.
Well, I'm going to get to that one because our fishing club this month, and that's actually tomorrow night and Wednesday night, and then tomorrow night's full. That's reserved seating, and then Tuesday night's full, but Wednesday night is open seating, and then we have one more reserved seating night Wednesday, not this Wednesday, but the following Wednesday you can reserve a seat for, all about cobia. So I want to get back to the cobia. But redfish, what are you using for bait? What are you using for, what are you doing to get these redfish? There's a lot of guys really sucking right now, and I know you're catching fish, so let's get some horse mouth information here.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm an artificial fisherman by heart. I mean, it's what I do. Topwater bites, you know, these shallow waters right now this time of year are great. But believe it or not, the fish are lethargic in the mornings. I mean, they're slow to eat, slow to bite. They don't want to chase nothing. You know, we've been throwing a lot of cut ladyfish, big frozen shrimp, and just letting it sit.
And cut pinfish. From everybody talking right now is talking cut pinfish. Been 10, 15 years since people talked about it. Right now, the cut pinfish seems to be ruling the world. But you got them back on ladyfish.
We got them back on ladyfish in certain areas. The docks I've had the most luck with the cut pinfish, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Why that is this time of year and this year in particular, I have no idea. You know, the water flow really hasn't changed from, you know, this year to last year to the year before. I mean, it's the same water flow.
Well, I always tell people, you know, if you, let's say you like Italian food, do you stop every time at an Italian restaurant?
No, you're right.
You know, I mean, if you're driving by and you just, okay, I like Italian food, so every Italian restaurant you don't stop at. You know, you only do it when you feel like it.
Right. I mean, how many times you've been out fishing a school of fish? And you're using the same bait over and over and over, and they're eating, and all of a sudden they just shut off. Well, sometimes they're just telling you, hey, you know what? I want something different.
Yep.
We pitch something else, we get the bite back on again.
Could be even a different mineral or vitamin that fish offers that, because, like, you know, we forget, but we get the liver and all these things provide different vitamins, and maybe different fish have, it could just be a different flavor, and okay, I'm tired of vanilla, I want chocolate, or I'm tired of chocolate, I want strawberry, you know.
It could be that, and it can be, you know, the time of day, water temperatures warming up, you know, there's so many things that affect the way that these fish will feed.
Or it could be there's just an abundance of pinfish this year, and they're just kind of keying in on it because it's what they're eating.
Well, we saw that at the tail of last season, last fall, probably a lot more pinfish on the flats than we've seen in quite a few years.
So that could just be as simple as that. They're just seeing a lot of them. They're eating them, so that's what they're keying in on. Now, when you're rigging them up, are you using jig heads, hooks, weights? What are you doing?
I use jig heads primarily. For me, it's just less clutter. It holds it right on the ground. If I want to get it up off the ground, you know, I'll switch to a flat style jig head. And just get the bait elevated off the ground. You know, I'm not much for sinker and hook and letting it free float. That's just not me. I mean, I like to keep it close, tight.
Well, when you're doing redfish, bottom is the best.
Right.
Find them on top water, fish them on bottom.
Yep. Always, you know, that strategy has always worked.
Yeah, it's a forever, you know, the Skitter Walk, the Zara Spook, they're some of the best fish finders in the world, but I'm going to catch five times as many once I get down closer to the bottom as when it comes to redfish.
That's it. You know, you go to an area that has redfish in it, you know it's got redfish in it, you know, you throw a couple topwaters out there, get something to hit at it. And as soon as they start swatting, okay, now you're zeroing in on where they're at.
Yeah.
You know, now you bring out your bait and you start chumming them and enticing them a little bit.
Well, that's it. It's all about getting that. With that Zara Spook or the Skitter Walk, you can figure out, or a Top Pup or a Top Dog, you can figure out where the fish are. And once you've got them figured out and you're getting them excited about it, then you start tossing baits and they can actually get, and the day is good.
Oh, the day is great. I mean, and your customers are always happy with that. I mean, they love to see that feed on the top water. And I think anybody that has ever fished fish or bass fished or, you know, enjoys that top water action better than anything. To actually be able to entice a fish, you know, to hit a piece of plastic.
And not only that, but you get to see them come up, you see the explosion, the swirl, it really gets your heart pounding, your pulse is going, you know.
You know, I'm a stick shad guy, and, you know, as we...
There you go.
That's better.
It didn't work. Hang on, let me readjust that mic one more time.
Yeah.
Okay. Frank, talk about droopy mic syndrome over there.
There's something limp over here, man.
Yes. It's usually on me on this side.
No, but you know, to watch these redfish and the way they feed, especially with, you know, a Skitter Walk or, you know, a stick shad, is to watch that fish come behind it and anticipate that bite. Is it never gets old.
No, I mean, it's still one of the most, it really does increase your pulse. I mean, you sit there, and I've seen a lot of guys get buck fever over it. I mean, all of a sudden, there they are, and this fish is blowing up. You're saying, cast in there. They're throwing everywhere but there.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys who, 2 minutes before, sitting pinpointing little spots on the mangroves, you know, and they're, you know, like great bass fishermen, and they can really cast, and they really know what they're doing, and all of a sudden, this big fish just boils up, and they just freak. They just don't know what to do.
Or, you know, you get them, you know, they'll start working that lure, and they'll get that fish enticed. They'll come up behind it, and all of a sudden, they'll see it, and they stop. And then they wonder why they didn't get the hit. Well, it
does take, that's why we're the captains.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what they got us for, to encourage.
Yeah, you know. Encourage is a good term, you know, but it is hard not to.
Not to whack them in the back of the head. I mean, quit doing that, you know, after the fourth time. Yes.
As a tournament fisherman, I mean, it does. I mean, you know, because some days you may only get, you know, several hits that you need, and you have to make every one of them count. And I guess I still feel that same way when I'm running a charter. And it's not. It's about the fun.
You're sitting there, and you really want them to do well. You've got the nicest people you've ever met. They're on your boat. You know where to go to catch fish. You know how to do it. Everything's working, and they get buck fever.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh God! And, you know what you could do that day, and it just isn't happening. I had one guy's on the boat, and really nice guys, but three of them were great. And this one guy, though, he couldn't catch a fish. But every time I throw him out, we were fishing whitebait that day. I threw his bait right into the trough and said, "Leave it in the trough." And he would reel it up until it got in about 14 inches of water, sitting there in the clear flat, nice grass. You could see that bait shining there. And I look at him and go, "Can you see your bait?" "Oh, yeah, it's right there." I said, "Do you see any fish by your bait?" "No."
Exactly.
I said, "Well, let's put it back in the trough and throw it back in there." And I go back and look, and I said, "You like watching your bait?" I mean, the other guys are catching fish after fish. Mm-hmm. And he was mad at me at the end of the day because he didn't catch any fish. I was like, what do you do to that?
There's nothing you can do. I mean, you know, I look at it as, you know, that day, you know, myself, that boat, that gear, it's theirs. You know, they're there to catch fish. We're going to point them in the right direction. We're going to give them all the tools that they need to catch. At the end of the day, you know, if they won't listen to you and won't, you know,
You just feel bad, though.
You do feel bad. You do feel bad. Everybody to catch fish. You want everybody to have a great day. But at the same time, if they refuse to listen, there's not a lot you can do.
Hang on just a second. I'm going to readjust his mic so he can hear him.
There you go.
All right, there we're back. Tim was just getting quieter and quieter, and that mic was dripping down, drifting down. But, see, you're one of the nice guys. That's why I don't charter anymore. I'm not as nice as you. You're one of those guys. You're just, you know, friendly and helpful and all that. And, you know, I'm just too old and crouchy. You know, that's why I don't charter anymore. I got, you know. But that's why you're the charter boat guy. You're the captain. You're the nice guy. You're helpful. You're friendly. I'm like, what do you mean, dummy? And I smack him in the back of the head. You know, like, you know, you're just a great guy. You know, but that's why you're so busy. You know, you stay real busy, and you know, you're good with your customers. But you do a lot of tournament fishing as well.
Yeah, I do. I do quite a bit of tournament. Not as much as we did, you know, a few years ago, but. You know, we've had a lot of fall off. You know, during the slow time of the economy, the sponsors aren't there, or they're there and they're just, you know, not wanting to participate at this time. We're finding that's changing this year.
I think things are getting better, at least until we get this next insurance thing going through, which I don't even want to get into. But there is we're in a nice little bubble right now. Hopefully, it lasts a while.
I hope it does. I mean, you know, it's great doing what you love. It's great to have, you know, people on the boat that you can have fun with. But, you know, when the money's not flowing, you don't have the people on your boat.
Right.
So what do you do?
But it's actually doing pretty good right now. I mean, the store is so busy. I think we're averaging 350 people a day or something like that through the store. And it's great. I mean, my payroll is through the roof, but, you know, it's great.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's wonderful. Please keep coming. I'll pay more for help. Okay, you know, I promise. I will pay extra staff. I'm hiring right now. Okay, but I want to talk to you about cobia because I know you're a good cobia fisherman. I mean, you really get on the cobia.
I enjoy that.
All right, what's your best advice? Just lean just a little bit in so you make sure they can hear you. Because how are you going to go out and find cobia?
Well, a bunch of different factors. You got. You know, right now you've got cobia kind of swarming the bars. You know, my favorite still is out in the reefs.
So you go offshore to look for them?
Well, no, I mean, Alligator Reef. I mean, I've caught probably 15 cobia there in the last 3 weeks.
Really?
Yeah. I mean,
now what's the bait of choice for cobia?
You're not gonna believe this. On the days that are flat, they're up on top.
Right.
And you know, my favorite stick shad. And to watch them chase and eat that thing is incredible.
No kidding.
Yeah, and we're, you know, and it's, you know, people go overboard with, you know, 30-pound line and all this other stuff. With those fish, I mean, if the line touches their back, if it slaps them the wrong way, they're gone.
Right.
You know.
And I mean, when one goes, they're all gone.
We're still catching, you know, 25, 30-pound cobia on 10-pound test. You're in wide open water.
Right.
Let them run.
Relax, enjoy
the ride. And
I mean, that's what you're there for, is that fight.
You will not believe how much power they have.
Oh, I... and
but let them go.
The craziest thing about a cobia is when they fight. Now, they come up and you get them about 20 feet away from the boat. And you think, I got them. No, that's where they're going to fight from. You'll get them in 15 feet from the boat, then they go back out to 20. They'll go out to 25 feet, and then they'll come back to 20. And they're going to hang right there. They pick a spot, and this is where they're going to fight for half hour, 40 minutes. They're going to stay right there. And just every time you think you got them beat, he just eases back out there.
It's a progression line. I mean, in, out, in, you know.
Just be patient.
But be patient with them. Don't force them. I mean, really, as long as the hook set's good, it's wide open water. You're in anywhere between 8 to 14 foot of water in that area. You know, you don't have to be in a hurry. Take your time.
Now, if you're cruising the bars, you're sight fishing for cobia.
Yeah, we're looking. You know, when I'm looking at the bars and stuff, I'm looking for, you know, I'm looking for the rays. I'm looking for the tips up of the rays. 9 times out of 10, you find a decent school of rays, you're gonna find cobia underneath them.
Now, how do you get past the rays and all that stuff to get down in where you're gonna think the cobia is?
Well, because I mean, the rays are not going to be attracted to your bait. I mean, they historically will not hit top water. We use the top water at that point to get basically the cobia to know there's something in the area, something that's there. And then once the rays pull off, we start throwing bait to them. And it's the system's worked. I mean, does it work every time? No, but
it works a lot.
70% of the time, I'd say it works.
I was going to say it works a lot. I know you. It works a lot.
We've been fortunate. I mean, and this harbor in the last 3 years, I tell you, the cobia content I think has increased greatly.
This has been, the end of 2013, beginning of 14 has been one of the best cobia seasons I've seen in 15, 20 years.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's almost like, I fish over Sebastian Inlet and over on that side of the fence, and those guys have, more cobia, or usually have more cobia.
Right.
Not right now.
No.
I mean,
for some reason or other, they found the Gulf, and they're in thick over here. We're hearing 6, 8, 10 on the reef. Then we hear a couple up by 41, and then we hear them right on Mary's or Helen's or the power poles, and then they're back in the harbor, then they're out, then they're back in. So, amazing year on cobia.
Yeah, I mean, up until last year, I couldn't tell you the last time trolling a stretch 15 or something behind the boat, I couldn't tell you the last time I caught a cobia that way. Now, we've caught quite a few this year that way, just getting in the right area.
Yeah, they're... It's amazing, these giant lures, big lips that shouldn't work in the harbor, but you're bringing them up real close to the boat. Just once they start bumping the bottom, just crank them up a little bit. And from what I'm hearing, about 3 miles an hour, give or take
three
a little
to five.
Bit. Yeah, it's actually going faster is better than going slower.
Mm-hmm.
So start off, around 2 to 3 miles an hour, get your bait set, and then kind of increase your speed exponentially if you're not getting a fish. Don't decrease the speed.
Yeah, if you're fishing these, the reefs, the alligator reef in particular, don't be surprised if you hook up on, some decent gag groupers right now. I mean, they're...
Gags, Jewfish,
they're
big black drum.
And they're hungry. I mean, we were out there on Saturday, and a guy of mine, caught a trout, which probably about a 24-inch trout. Before I could get him in the boat, about a 30-inch grouper tried to eat him.
Really?
I mean... He wasn't afraid of the size of that trout at all. It was all or nothing.
Well, I can remember being out there and hooking trout, and like I say, 20, 24-inch trout, and all of a sudden have a big snook come up and just suck him up.
Yeah.
And happens all the time with tarpon, but back years ago when I was fishing with Bill Johnson, Norm Day, my dad, we would be out and we'd get these trout on, and it was always the temptation to leave them set out there a little while because, these big 40-some-inch snook would come out and blast them. But, I tried not to do that.
Well, accidents happen, right?
Right, accidents happen, yes. It's not a speckled ladyfish.
No, not at all. Not at all.
But it was a lot of fun years ago doing all these big fish, and we're just now getting back where you can do that again with the cobia, the big snook. Tarpon has been kind of a consistent one, but there's so many other big fish showing up.
There is. I mean, it's, primarily, to get into decent, mangrove snapper even, you'd have to go off a couple miles offshore, and, you do all right out there. You get some grays, but the fish are getting bigger. And I think...
Surprisingly so.
Yeah, and in places that you wouldn't think that there would be them.
Yeah, I've got one buddy who's got a hole that he goes to and he gets these monster mangrove snappers out of. And it's very consistent.
Mm-hmm.
And, he does it every once in a while. I would have thought he would have slimmed it down, but I don't know if they grow up in one spot and you get a bunch of little ones and then they kind of, once they get a certain size, they move to another hole and a bunch of little ones move into that one. It always seems like when I find a spot... The snappers I get are all going to be about the same size.
Right.
And year after year, that spot holds those same size snapper. Once you get in this spot, it's got bigger ones. It seems like year after year when you go there, they're consistently bigger.
Well, most all fish will school to size. That's just like... But
you would almost think that if that spot had smaller fish and you come back a year later, it would have bigger fish.
A little bit bigger. Yeah, but
it seems different spots have different size fish.
They migrate out. I don't know if it is.
Maybe it's like a Jewfish.
I don't know if it is. Yeah, it might be. I mean, once they get to a certain size, hey, you're okay to stay here until you're this big, now you got to leave.
Because you go into canals and they get up 30, 50 pounds and they're out. They're gone.
Yep.
Very seldom you get a really big one that stays in the canals. And then they'll get around the phosphate dock, and then they get up 100, 200, maybe somewhere between 100 and once they get past 100, then they might start moving out in the Gulf. But they'll hang out till they're at least 100, 150 pounds before they move.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's, you know, the phosphate ducks are, you pretty much know exactly what poundage you're gonna hook into when you hook into them.
So, I mean, anyway, what's your best advice for this week? We got a guy, he's just barely fished down here. He's got a little boat, and he wants to go out and catch some fish. What would he target right now?
I mean, it depends on what this guy wants to fish with or fish for. I mean, if he's wanting the cobia, if he's wanting to, you know, play with the grouper.
Let's just do, what's your best bet? What would be the most likely thing the average person could go out and catch right now?
Most redfish and trout on the flats. I mean, you know, with the water depths right now, I mean, both sides of the bar, when you can get in the trough on the inside, there's fish sitting in it. You also get the fish that get kind of trapped on the outside. They run that bar until the water level comes up high enough for them to cross back over.
So it's a great time when it's low water to go along that bar and see where those depressions or right. the where the bar is not as pronounced, where you have a little cut that the fish can get back and forth through, and find those cuts, get them marked, and then when the tide's low, get there, get in position, and then catch those fish when they're on their way back up onto the flat.
Absolutely. I mean, we when you can see those indentations and you see those little dips. And
that's the word I was looking for. Good word, indentation. I was sitting there going, shallow cut, indentation. Dance, that was like the word I should have used.
But, okay. You know, when you can see those, fish are they're traveling through those. I mean, they're going to use that to cross that bar, and they know before you know when the water depth is correct for them to make that move. So if you sit there, it's kind of like hunting. It's kind of like sitting in your tree stand and just eyeballing that area because you know they travel it, and wait.
Yeah.
They're going to be there.
It's the same as deer hunting. You sit on a tree stand, you wait for them to cross the field, and have at it.
Exactly. And, you know, that's the bars right now are pretty hot. I mean, they really are.
Now, you got a buddy who does signs.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. His name is Steve Bear with Rapid Graphics.
Rapid Graphics.
Yep, they do all my promotional stuff. They do my shirts. They do the wrap on my boat. They do the wrap on my truck. Business cards.
And your truck is something. I got to tell you, you got a great boat. But when you see his boat and his truck together, it turns heads. I cannot imagine you driving anywhere and you've almost got to cause accidents. Everybody going, wow, look at that! It's cool.
From the day we wrapped it, there has not been one day that it's not been on the road that somebody didn't take a picture of it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just one of those things, you know, some of my friends say, well, there's only one word that can describe that truck, and it's just, you know, stupid. But
I'm going to say
it's
two
a,
words.
It's a billboard.
Wow. But I can get where they get that from, because, I mean, you almost got to get a stepladder to get in and out of your truck. I mean,
yeah. But wait until you see. We've got an entirely new wrap design, getting ready to be designed for that truck. And
I'm not going to know what to do. I know you got that big redfish truck now. I mean, it's a giant, huge redfish truck.
And you know when we designed it, my designer said, you know, I'm doing it via over the phone. He told Steve, he's like, you know, he goes, this is going to be the dumbest wrap I've ever done. I really don't want to do it. Da 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 da. We went back and forth, and I'm trying to get this guy to see what I saw in my head. And when it was all said and done, the guy said, you know, I got to come down and see this go on, because he goes, I think it's just going to be, you know, just, it's not a very good idea. And he come down, he saw it on there, and he's like, you know what, Tim? He says, this may be the best wrap that I've ever designed. He goes, now that I've seen it, I know what you're looking for.
Your truck is absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
And you're going to do the boat and truck matching with all new graphics and everything on it this year.
Absolutely. You know, with the me changing the charter company this year, and you know, there's everyone's asking why am I changing from T-Back Charters to Real Reaper, and those of us that are in, you know, every year have to go out and procure sponsors. You'll understand why.
Yeah, because everybody went politically correct. Nobody has a sense of humor.
Yeah, and it's
what it really just started out was kind of a fun. It was kind of a gag, and it was just for laughs. And then all of a sudden, you know, people are going, "Well, you can't say that. You give me a break. I get so tired of it."
It is.
What happened to your sense of humor, America?
Yeah.
Well, shut up and laugh a little bit.
Have some fun with it, for crying out loud.
Yeah,
but they don't. It's so we have to be politically correct, and
And I like Real Reaper, though.
Well,
I thought that was unusual. It was cool. I like the name.
It allows me to go back to kind of my roots, the Skull and Crossbones, the Grim Reaper, you know, the dark side of fishing, if you want to call it that, I guess.
Well, I have the pirate crew, and
yes,
I have a pirate ship, and we're getting ready to label our boats and, you know, the black, you know, the traditional pirate crew logos. And, I mean, good God, I got a fleet nowadays. I don't know how the heck that happened. I'm just going, oh, my God, because, you know, boat is break out another thousand. I'm really not, you know, I could really use to lose a couple of these boats.
Yeah, I think my boat has, like, you know, two T's at the end of it. It's break out another 10,000.
Yeah.
Every time you turn around, it's something, but, you know.
But you got to love it.
We'll do what we love. And
you got to love it.
You know, as long as you have passion in it, money's money, and passion's passion.
Yeah, it's still fun. And the nice part about it is you've been doing this a long time, and you're still having fun. You're still enjoying it out there. And that's hard to find nowadays. And
you gotta enjoy it. You gotta enjoy it. You know, and the best thing I enjoy is getting kids out on the boat. You know, it's hard to describe.
I can actually tell you, after about 1,500 charters, I went to where I didn't want to take the guys out for the big fish. I wanted mom, dad, the kids, mm-hmm. or, you know, dads and grandpas, and because we had so much more fun.
Well, you're gonna be there, and you're gonna witness something for the first time.
Yep.
You know, their first, you know, big fish, you know, it's not a sunfish, it's not a perch, it's, you know, it's a trout, it's a snook, it's a redfish. And the look on these kids' face and the excitement that they see, and, you know, then their parents get to share it, and it's I think it's more fulfilling than taking, you know, a couple guys out that are looking, you know, to cross off another trophy fish on their bucket list. You know, we do both, we will continue to do both. But my enjoyment is watching the kids take care of business.
And I get that, because there's, you know, yourself and a bunch and some of the other guys, you know, getting those guys out who are actually really good fishermen and have waited their whole life for a chance to come down and get that big fish and go after what they're looking for. It's intense. It's actually kind of cool. And I had a couple of, I used to do a lot of tournament guys from up in Minnesota and Wisconsin and all over Northeast, and get them out there and watching these guys throw the top water and coaching them a little bit, and then they end up with their fish, and it was interesting. But as you said, seeing somebody for the first time, just, and I mean, you know, that's a flash, that's a snapshot in life, that it's going to be there forever.
No, I mean, you know, there are kids that are fishing local tournaments now today that, you know, caught their first fish with me.
Yeah.
And it got in their blood, they're hooked, you know, and it has been a passion, you know, of theirs ever since. And I'd rather see them out fishing than doing other stuff.
Oh, yeah, fishing's always the better of the alternatives. Anyway, any last advice for our anglers?
One thing, any questions, whatever, all come see Frank. He's got all the answers. He won't be afraid to tell you either.
Well, that's the problem.
But if you're thin-skinned, he'll tell you the other way, too. So, but no.
Anyway.
Frank, your crew is great. All your people here are knowledgeable. And, you know, I wouldn't come here anywhere else.
Real Reaper Charters. And you're going to be able to click Tim's picture right next to the show, and it'll take you to his website and all that. But we do want to mention Rapid Graphics. And real nice guy. Does a great job on signs, T-shirts, boat wraps, all that other stuff. And I just want to thank him. We've got a new sign out back, and that's going to be very cool. But, Tim, I've been dying to get you on the show. Now, we got to make a regular thing of this. We got to do, like, regular, you know, what to do and when to do it stuff, because, you know, you're actually good at this stuff.
Well, yeah, I enjoy it, and, you know, absolutely, let's make it regular.
All right. Well, anyway, this is Fish and Frank. That's Captain Tim, and... Real Reaper Charters, and I got to get used to all this new stuff. And we're going to catch you on the next Radio Fishing. You want to say goodbye, Tim?
Bye, folks. We'll see you at Frank's.
I love it. All right, guys. Well, thanks for listening. We'll catch you on the next Radio Fishing.